Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how do you think ahead? How do you decipher? How do you use intuition? Is it your gut, your heart, your head? Do you have a specialty? What's your favorite? And how do you know it's working for you or not? So to help us understand this is an expert on intuition, on future vision even. We're going to talk about that because that's very exciting. She has so many different ways that she looks at how our minds work and how we interact with others. That really helps us challenge life better and be successful. So to help us do that is the author of Future Vision Your Working Life, Anne Jersch. Is that Jersch pronounced right, Anne?
Absolutely, Jersch. Well done.
Well, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you. What great energy you have.
Oh, thank you. And I'm so excited about your book because it covers a lot of ground that can help people know themselves better and know each other better.
I noticed people were struggling. They were struggling with the time we are in. And I, funny enough, you mentioned about people connecting. I put on Facebook earlier, post up somebody that you think other people should follow because they do good stuff. It might be a good show. And I put up a guy that makes beautiful spiritual music. I only had 4 comments. If I was to put up a comment bitching about the world, I would be full of comments. And this is the time we're living in. People are feeling quite negative. They're feeling quite angry, scared. There's a lot of attacking. People attacking. If you go on social media, it's so angry. And I think we've got to get around that and start seeing each other, you know, seeing the human person again. So I love that you see that aspect of my book. The book's primarily about the future of work and what we need to thrive. But you're absolutely right. One of the things I've put in there that we need our tribe. We need our people that are like-minded. We need to be able to understand each other. So I love your take on the book.
Oh, good. Yeah, I love reading it. And there are many wonderful insights. But one thing that started me off really very excited is that you help people project themselves into the future and see who they are.
Yeah.
And 1,000 years ahead, even. But what is their sense, even though it might not be exactly that far, but what is their sense about themselves as they, about their future selves that they can appreciate now? And when you can hold that, then you can.
Well, that's an interesting one.
Well, you can love yourself better, seeing that you're better off in the future. You're a better person in the future. And we love that. But when we can bring it back to now and say, how can I be better now? Because I'm getting better.
You're really getting this. It's so nice to meet somebody that gets it. One of the things I've found, even by our next lifetime, we're much more evolved. And I keep saying, by our next lifetime, the human race has grown up. We're like silly children now, chasing novelty and arguing about silly things. By our next lifetime, we're much more evolved, much more grown up, much more collective. You know, it doesn't matter. I don't care what colour you are or what background you come from or what money you got. It's all just people in the future. And I really love that.
One thing you say is that there's a reduction in fear. And that really helps.
It really, really helps because we're not so needy in the future. We're a bit more relaxed. We haven't got the pressures and the pace of life we have. It's a bit calmer in the future because we are, because, you know, our inner creates our outer. we're calmer in the future and we're nicer to each other. And I think people are doing work they enjoy more because we've got more machines doing the mundane and the jobs that aren't enjoyable. In the future, we can actually say, what do I want to do here? You might think back to our ancestors. They didn't have that luxury, did they? That they had to do what they had to do to feed their kids to survive. They couldn't just go, oh, I fancy being a doctor, unless their family were doctors. You know, wherever you were governed what you did. But we're in the future, we do have that chance to be ourselves and lead the life where we serve ourselves more. We are nicer. And I love it when people connect with their future self and speak to their future self. When I've taken people 1,000 years, I have taken many, but when I take people 1,000 years, how they describe their future self is very much how people describe angels. And I sometimes wonder, when people are talking about angels, is it their future self visiting them? Who's going to guide you? I love it. You think of it. Who's going to guide you better? Who's going to look after you better than your future self? And the wisdom that comes from our future self is amazing. You know, just that peace and calm and forgiveness that, you know, no matter how silly we are, how much we get it wrong, they're going, okay, don't beat yourself up. This is okay. It's just, some people might think I'm potty, but I speak to my future self. My future self guides me.
Right. And so when we come back, we understand that from the future, we're much more highly intuitive because our egos aren't, and our survival isn't so imperative.
Yeah.
And right now, we're you know, let's say drowning in fear and our survival, the noise and chaos around us, it's hard to hold intuition. And so we
It is. And we're very, sorry, it's a slight delay on things. Yeah, I think we're far more intuitive in the future. And it's really nice to go and actually feel what our future self feels, find out how it works and bring that back with us. So what I want to do is bring the best bits of the future back so that it happens sooner. So when people go and connect with that future energy and they feel what it feels like to be, say, next lifetime or 1,000 years or whatever, and they feel what it, when they come back, they're different. They're actually stronger, but softer. They actually walk different. They walk out my office differently to how they walked in.
Right. You know, there's so many ways that when we plug into a higher consciousness, we can learn about ourselves, and it really helps us appreciate ourselves so much more. And one time I actually did a hypnotic regression back in between lifetimes, and I got to sit face to face with my higher self, and I loved who my higher self was, who he looked like. He actually, you know,
oh, I like that.
He took on a guise that I needed to see, you know, because our higher selves can appear in any way they want. And he appeared like a very wise old man and a loving wise old man. And I said, oh, if that's my higher self, then I want to attain that and be that. And it really helped me appreciate myself even more.
I love that. I love that. And that's it. You can go to so many different sequences. You can go to future lifetime. You can go in between lifetimes. You can go to so many different time frames. I also take people to alternate futures because, you know, so every so often we live below our potential. And so often I'll take people forward to see themselves, say, in 5 years' time and say, where are you in 5 years? What are you doing? What do you wish you'd have done differently? Let's get some hindsight. Then I take them to their best future where they've absolutely made the right decisions for themselves and find out what's different. Because we try and create the future with our current limitations. But what we can do is jump beyond our current limitations. We can jump, go into the future. So things you're good at now that maybe you struggled with 10 years ago, if you can take that back to a past you, you'd rock it very quickly. So we're kind of doing that. We're jumping into the future where they're in a really good future.
I love that.
Love of their life, or they're doing their best work.
Yes. It's so beautiful. And then, you know, it's also about trusting yourself. And so you're giving people opportunities to see how they can trust themselves better because they know themselves better. They, you know, in different ways, in different realities.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. And so you have a you have so many different ways of helping people in your book. And another way is identifying submodalities. So this is a way of identifying your feelings. There's submodality is how we feel. And you have a long list of wonderful descriptions of them so that we can identify how we might attune to them better.
Yeah, the thing is, I've been trying to understand intuition since I was a child. And what basically happened was my grandmother used to read the tea leaves. You know, you get the tea leaf readers.
That's so cool.
She was a fortune teller. And I used to watch her and I used to love. Yeah, it was really good. She was a real character, my nan, in the East End of London. So she was a proper Londoner and she was a real character. And I used to be a bit nosy. Best job in the world for a nosy person, isn't it? And I used to peer around the door and watch. So I would try, and it was a bit what you're saying about resistance. I'd sit there as a kid and try and know something, try and have a premonition. And I never once, even by guessing, got it right. Absolute rubbish at this. But what it did, so if you do something naturally, you often don't know how you do it. So I by studying, because I didn't understand intuition, but I knew it worked, because I've seen it work with my nan many times. So I went in search of intuition and how it works. So being a teenager back in the 60s, I did what the Beatles did. I went to India, because that's where the Beatles went. They must have been. You just think, when you're a 16-year-old girl in the 60s, you just presume the Beatles know everything. So I followed the Beatles out to India. I went to India, and I went to ashrams. And I went to, and you're going to love this, Peter. I went to all these things. Nothing happened. And then I'm in Calcutta, and there's this beggar, and I kept seeing people go up and chat to him. So when I started talking to him, and he taught me about spirituality. So my guru was a beggar in Calcutta that sat on his mat and talked to people. No great guru in the ashram, it was a beggar. And he would every day explain, and it's embarrassing now, Peter, because I used to go, how do you know this new stuff? The spiritual thing was like new in the 60s. We all thought, wow, where's all this come from? Of course, it was thousands of years old, and I didn't know that. By the time I came back, my intuition was opening up. But I've spent my life studying how intuition works. And what I've found is it's different things for different people. So submodalities is you might get visual images. Somebody else might get that tingle at the back of their neck. Somebody else might just stop in their tracks. So somebody might get messages in their mind. So I started to break down, how does it work for you? And how does it work, say, when you are getting a big green light, go for that. That's going to be brilliant. There's a certain way of processing that intuition. And there's another time when great opportunities in front of you and you're going, hang on a minute, I don't feel right. And you will have a completely different process for the big no, for the red light and green light. So what I've done is I've broken down the processes so people can actually analyze how their own personal intuition works in different ways, good warnings, bad warnings. And once you know, you can get it very quickly. You can tap into it very quickly. You can also enhance it, because when you know how it works, you can actually go, I'm going to make this stronger. I'm going to make this more so. So you can really get your intuition much more on your side, rather than being the odd fluke or the odd now and again, and is my emotions getting in the way. You actually understand the process.
Right. And that's wonderful to learn how we're intuitive and to see which submodalities work best for us. And there were years.
Yeah.
I was I've been intuitive much longer than I knew. I was just living it and wondering, how do I know those things? And other people questioning me, how do you know those things? But I'm thinking back though, of like 35 years ago or so when I started a manufacturing company and everybody told me I was going to lose, I was going to fail. And everything I did, I thought was right. And yet there were too many ways that it didn't look good. I had a national sales company that I gave them 4 months to sell my warehouse full of new products at the very beginning of the company. I already had, I developed a whole product line and they said, oh, we're gonna kill the market for this, you know. And then 4 months later, they said, nobody wants it. It's a total failure. You have to just give it all up. And, you know, so where do you go? You really have to use your intuition. You have to believe in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did. And then the company became very successful until I sold it a dozen years later.
Wow. And yet all the evidence was against that. And yet your instincts were telling you.
Right. There was an.
I love that. Do you know they've done?
Go ahead.
Well, they've done a number of studies, and they found people that are successful in business use their intuition far, far more. The people at the top use their intuition far, far more. The people who kind of struggling near the middle or lower down tend to be relying on facts and figures. But those that use their intuition are far more successful. There's a number of studies that conclusively prove that.
Right, and in your book you talk about different research. You know that, for instance, naval research about intuition, and to help their sailors identify what they call the spidey sense, the sixth sense. And I love that. And so
I love that. I love that technical term. You know, you get
that. Right, spidey sense. I love that too. and then we have the three brains that you talk about, and so this also has to do with, in a sense, with some modalities also, because each brain is identifying different submodalities. Of in different senses, let's call it senses, and so you have the gut, the heart, and the head, and many people, you know, really rely on that in their own way. So in other words, some people are more gut, some are more heart, and some are more head, or we might have some combinations of them, right?
Absolutely, but usually people are strongly one, and people in the spiritual field tend to be more heart. They tend to be very heart-based, which is great. They end up doing work they love. They're very kind to people, but they're very easy to take advantage of. So if you've got some people take advantage of people in the spiritual field, you know, they don't pay them properly and they put on them too much. But it also means if you're relying completely on your heart, you'll end up doing what you love. But you're not going to make a plan. You're not going to plan it properly. And you're not going to use your gut. You're not going to get out there and take the action you need to take. So a lot of spiritual people don't have the success they should have because they're relying on their heart brain and they need the other two to get a bit more business-like. That's why in the spiritual field, often the people that are most successful are not necessarily the best. There's people out there undiscovered that are absolutely brilliant. They've got incredible skills with people, abilities, and they're not having the success they should. And that is why. So, okay, we know about our head brain. We know the neural pathways. We know the components that make up the brain. We have the exact same components in our heart and in our gut. Everything that you define as a brain, you've got in your heart and in your gut, the ability to remember, the ability to process information. So it's quite fascinating to look at that those brains are actually really powerful. And it's interesting, the gut brain people tend to steam on out there. And it's funny, I was talking to a big business advisor yesterday, and he already researched this, and he said, you're a gut brain person. I'm not going to give you a lot of information because it'll bore you. And I went, yeah. He already knew how I process. He said, you hate spreadsheets. I went, oh, I cannot do spreadsheets. He went, you like bullet points. I went, yeah. So when you start understanding how the different brains work, but one of the processes I teach people, I teach it in the book, it's very simple. But okay, you're about to say, think of something new you want to get into or do. Bring it into your heart. And if your heart's not happy, forget it. I always think if the heart's not happy. But once you've brought it into, say it's studying something, perhaps there's a new spiritual thing to learn, bring it into your heart. If it feels good in your heart, bring it up to your head. What do I need to know? What do I need to do? Let's make a plan here. Do I need to go and study something? How am I going to use this? Make some plans and then bring it out to your gut and take action. How I've likened the three brains. Imagine if you have three friends and you got one that's super smart, logical, great at making plans. You got another one that has your best interest at heart, really warm and loving, and will really make sure that you're kind of happy and positive in what you do. And you got the other one that watch your back. If there's a problem, they'll have your back. We all need a friend that has our back. But also, they'll kick you up the butt when you need to take action.
Yeah, I love this.
Why would you only listen to one when you've got those three friends?
Right. That's but what you're saying, and you talk about in your book, is, you know, creating community, finding mentors, having the right people. Because I'm thinking right now of a man who's highly spiritual, and he's very successful because he has a manager, a woman who is unbelievably powerful, and she's operating from head and gut in an amazing way.
Yeah.
And he gives his business direction to her, and she moves his heart forward, and he's become very successful.
That is, you'd be surprised out how it's great you've identified that, but that happened. I can think of a number of spiritual people, and they've got somebody that completely handles that side. And it frees you up to do the work you love, to do what you do best. You've got somebody in the back room, they're setting up the appointments, the interviews, they're doing stuff we find boring. Us spiritual people find all that paperwork and spreadsheets. We find it so boring. But it allows the person to go and do what they do best. But you do need that. And if you use the three brains, but if you've got somebody around you, the amount of people that have a wife or a husband that handles that side of things, and that's when they take off.
Yeah, and yet we can find a more than one aspect within ourselves too. Yeah. It depends on how we're designed. Some of us are designed to be multifaceted, mm-hmm. and others are limited to one or the other.
Yeah. Well, often in the research they found people are using the wrong brain. The wrong thing. So you don't want to be using your heart brain when you're making a business decision. You need to bring it up into the logic. So often people, it's a bit like buyer's remorse. You go and buy a fancy car because you've fallen in love with it. You go home and the next day the brain kicks in and goes, you can't afford that, the head brain. And then the gut will kick in and it'll give you fear. If you run it past all three while you're looking at car, you're going to make a better decision.
If you can. I mean, some of us just aren't designed to be that good at these different things. But the idea is to know it. See, talking about it like this really helps people identify what their strengths and weaknesses are.
Absolutely.
And then make up for it.
Absolutely. And I find with me, I'm very gut-based, and then I bring everything up to my head. So if somebody that works in a spiritual field, I'm not in touch with my heart very as much as I should be. And that's because I've grown up in a tough environment. So I've always had to be in survival mode. I mean, right from early childhood, where I grew up was classed as a slum. So I've always been in survival mode. And I went to a heart math event, and they got us to breathe in and out of our heart. And I started to feel all this stuff, and I was like, whoa, I don't know if I like this. I'm not used to this. It was taking me out of survival mode, which makes me feel safe. So it's interesting to just play around and think, whoa, what do I feel here? Am I comfortable with this? Why am I not comfortable? What, you know, it's very interesting what it starts to open up to us. And we do understand people better when we go into the different brains. We start to, that's why you think like that. That's why that's your priority. Because often we don't understand people who have a different dominant brain.
Oh, this is so wonderful to hear you talk about it like this. It's really going to help people a lot.
Oh, good, good.
So let's come back to talking about the book that this is, so much of this is in, is Future Vision Your Working Life. And your name is Anne, A-N-N-E, Jirsch, J-I-R-S-C-H. And how can people find you?
If you look up Anne Jirsch, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. You'd go to annejirsch.com, send me a message. I'd love to hear from you. I'm very much a people person. I love hearing from people and connecting. But yeah, find me on Facebook or Twitter, or drop me a message, or annejirsch@annejirsch.com. So yeah, contact me. I'd love to hear from you. What a great show you have.
Well, you know, it's because I pick such wonderful guests. So I love, you know, I love talking with you, and it sure makes it a better show, I think.
Thank you. No, it's been lovely, really, really lovely. And I'd just say for anybody listening, Peter Ernie was picking out, looking up my date of birth, and he picked up my husband's, and he nailed him with his book when he looks up the date of birth in the car. He totally nailed my husband. I can't wait to go home and tell him what you said.
Oh, good. That's great. Well, you know, we have so many tools that we use, you and I, and help a lot of people. It's great. So great knowing you. So much fun knowing you, too.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's been lovely.
Well, thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.